This morning's second public reading of God's Word comes to John chapter 21. And guess what? We are on the final chapter. And that means that in our brief time, we have gone through the entire Gospel of John and the comments and the questions that we post on our website. So that's another book that I can say that I somewhat completed, not giving an in-depth, but giving as much as I can in the short time that we spend together. I'm going to read just the first 12 verses. John chapter 21. Again, this is God's Word. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. That's another name for the Lake of Galilee. And on this wise show he himself. This is how John says, this is how he made this appearance. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, that would be James and John, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. When the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have you any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw in for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fish's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself in the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon went up and drew the and then he drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. For all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who are you? Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Please be seated, and may God choose to bless this word. Look at that verse 4. When the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Remember how Jesus, when Mary Magdalene went to the garden to anoint the body of Jesus, and she discovered that the stone had been rolled, the tomb is empty, and the angels told her, Why are you looking for the land of the living amongst the dead? He's not here, he's risen. And she saw a guy in the garden, and she automatically thought it was the gardener. And she goes to the gardener, okay, and he turns and asks basically, What's your problem? And where did you put the body? Tell me where you put the body, and I can go retrieve it. At that point, she's talking to him face to face, but she doesn't recognize him. But when does she recognize him? When he said to her, based on John 10, I know my sheep by name, Mary. As soon as he said that, the scales fell off of her eyes. And her response was, Rabboni, Master, Teacher. Okay? Remember the two guys on the road to Emmaus when they finally went to the inn to get a bite to eat. And Jesus made as if he was going to continue his journey, but they kind of urged him to dine with them. And they're talking back and forth about the resurrection and how their hopes and dreams were dashed. And they didn't recognize him. But how did they recognize him as Jesus revealed himself? He revealed himself by breaking bread, like at the Lord's Supper, but they could also see the nail prints. And their eyes were open, and then he vanishes. Okay? So notice how Jesus is able to put a curtain over our sight and understanding, all for a reason. And notice, the Bible tells you they're not that far from the shoreline. So they were not way out in the lake, and Jesus was just a little dot on the shoreline. He's standing there. They're not that far from land, and they don't recognize him up until that point. And it's not until this miracle is performed that it's John who says, "Hey, that's the Lord." And then Peter. Now, when it says that he was naked, it doesn't mean that he was in his birthday suit. The word there in the Greek basically meant he had his undergarment, just the undergarment. And then he grabs his fishing coat, his outer garment, to put that on. So don't get the picture that naked, Peter joined a nudist colony there. No, he had undergarment, but it's referred to as being naked. Now, what's so special about this miracle? First off, we've got to ask a question. Who were the men in verse 2? Well, we know that Peter and Andrew, the brother, were seasoned professional fishermen. We know that James and John were professional fishermen. And were in business with Peter and Andrew. So these were seasoned, qualified fishermen. They knew their business. They were not novice. They just didn't become fishermen the day before. So they were out all night, professional fishermen, dropping their lines, dropping their nets, whatever, and they came up totally empty. Well, morning breaks, and there's Jesus. He simply is there. Boom. Children, have you any meat? Verse 5. You got any food? Now, isn't it amazing? He's asking them if they have food, but by the time they make it to the shore, he has coals of fire, fish on the pan, and bread. Did he do another miracle? Simply speaking and providing a meal waiting for his children. He called them children. Isn't that beautiful? Children. This is not demeaning. Children. Father to child. A term of endearment. Children. So Peter jumps in. Well, here's this idea of lordship. They told Jesus, "We fished and we've come up empty all night." And what does he say? "Cast your net on the right side." And since he is Lord of creation, and since he is sovereign, my mind, Bible believer, they caught nothing all night. Can you imagine under the stars all night? Finally, day breaks, there's Jesus, and he commands them where to drop that net. And they did so, to the point it was so heavy, but it didn't break. And by the time they got it to shore, and they literally counted 153 fish. Jesus said on one occasion, "For without me, ye can do nothing." And here's an example. These were seasoned veteran fishermen. They knew their business. These were not novices in that regard. But then notice the Christian. What would be the 21st century Christian's response? "Sorry, Jesus, I am tired. I have had a long night, and I caught nothing. And I still have these nets to clean, and I need to take a nap." That would be modern 21st century Christianity. After toiling all night and being, I would imagine, not only hungry, maybe thirsty, but tired, Jesus commands them to do something, and they offered no excuse, nor did they complain, gripe, and moan. That's the difference between first century Christianity and the monstrosity that we have developed today, especially in America. They offered no excuse. They didn't tell the man on the shore until he was recognized, "Go bother somebody else." No. And as soon as John was able to recognize, "Peter, that's the Lord," Peter jumped right in there and swam to shore. Jesus tells them in verse 10, "Bring the fish. Don't want them to go to waste." Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. And then Jesus says this, and beloved, he says this to you and I. Come and dine. In John chapter 6, Jesus uses some very rough language against the Jews, and they got upset with him. What did Jesus tell them? Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part or lot with me. Now, the Catholic Church takes John chapter 6, and they turn that into a communion service in order to substantiate their doctrine. When the priest does the mumbo-jumbo over the bread and the wine, it automatically transforms into the blood, body, and divinity of Christ. And that, to them, is receiving Christ. To them, that is receiving salvation, but it's temporal. Once you blow it again with sin, you're heading towards purgatory again. John chapter 6 was no communion service, but Jesus used language on purpose that would be offensive to the Jews who were commanded under the law of Moses to eat nothing strangled and to eat nothing with blood. Now stop and think what Jesus was doing on purpose. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part with me. And he tells them, while they're getting upset, what are you advocating, cannibalism? He tells them, my words are spirit and they are life. He's using the consumption of meat and drink to denote one placing faith and trust in Christ. And Jesus says, come and dine. Come and dine. And none of those disciples, they didn't even double dog dare any one of them. Ask him if he's Jesus. Go ahead, I double dog dare you. No. They knew it was the Master. So we see several things from this account. When Jesus says to do something, it may be tough, it may be hard. We may offer a few excuses, but the true believer eventually submits to what God wants him or her to do. In this case, they obeyed. They dropped that net, and they came up with the harvest. Well, may God choose to bless his word.